Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as always, I'm super excited to be here because I get to hang out with so many cool people. So let's just jump into some introductions and start off with someone who hasn't been around for a while and has been sorely missed. Me. No, wait, Charlotte, how are you?
I've missed you, Jeff. I'm good. Thank you for having me back. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I am genuinely happy to see your face.
I'm always happy to do something recorded or not with you, Jeff. It's always good to chat and hang out.
It is. And you know, when I'm hanging out with everyone here, it just really makes me want to plan intercontinental trip again so I can hang out in person.
It's been a few years since you were here. It's been too long now.
It has been too long.
Come on, sort it out.
Yeah, I'll get on that. And Patrice, I'm realizing the last time you and I hung out together was in San Jose at WWDC.
Correct, 2019.
And we didn't get to spend nearly enough time together.
No, this was just way too short week as always.
Yep. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's swampy here right now, like hot and humid and all of that, like the typical summer here. So I'm melting, but I'm good. I'm just happy it's Thursday. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, weekend is coming.
Yeah. And Rich, you and I have never hung out together.
And no, we haven't, have we?
That needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. I know. I need to come to a big tech thing in America.
You should.
Yeah.
I should.
You should.
Rich and I could fly out to you instead of demanding you fly out to the UK.
You know, there's some really good podcaster conferences in the US. Just saying.
Well, I'll let Rich book the flights and let him get on it.
I'll get on that. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, of course, if you fly out for one of the podcasting conferences, I think that obligates me to fly to the conference also, because it won't be here where I am. They're like in Vegas or San Diego, places like that.
We should go to a Vegas one. That's it. This is it. We should all meet up in Vegas.
All right. It's a date.
Honestly, I would take San Diego over Vegas, but that's me.
Well, having been to both, I am with you, Patrice. To me, Vegas is a place you go for conferences, not a place you go for a vacation. And I understand that I'm in the minority on thinking that.
Jeff, I feel like you've been doing Vegas wrong.
apparently.
I'm trying to think where Rich and I would meet you that is the equivalent of Vegas in the UK. And I think it's probably best we don't say it on air.
I think the equivalent of Vegas in the UK is...
Exactly. Oh,
it's probably Blackpool, isn't it?
Okay, now the funny thing is, I was thinking, Blackpool?
Let's do it.
And the only reason I know about Blackpool is from British TV shows.
Well, I will tell you my last story of when I was last in Blackpool, but that will definitely do that off air.
Having been to both Vegas and Blackpool, I would rather go to Vegas again.
Well said.
Plus, I have this little plan about the vault at the Bellagio, and if you tour with me, I just need to find 8 other people, and we can get this in. It's going to be fantastic.
Okay.
All right. We are now planning an international incident.
Good. No,
it's a heist. We'll get away. We'll get away with it. It's fine. Oh, I've seen how it's done.
An international heist movie.
Yeah, I know exactly how you do it.
I'm in.
Right, I'm going to DM Brad Pitt. I'll set it up.
Excellent. I'll pick you up at the airport.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you don't do a Lost in Translation.
Right.
Yep.
All right, well, on that fun note, who has the first story today?
I have one here. Paste, damn you, Windows. Oh, no, this has all gone wrong. I'm just trying to copy and paste a URL. You would, you know.
Oh, Epic's for their content create. Wow, I can't even speak. Well, in my defense, English is a difficult language.
Yeah, it is.
So instead of trying to say, oh, wow, here's the story, Rich, just talk.
It's my story, but okay.
Or Patrice.
Yeah.
See, I can't even read today. I need more tea. That's it. I need more tea.
You definitely do. You know, Epic and Fortnite have been in the news on the Apple side for quite a while. Actually, also on the Google side, because Epic also sued Google. And I was kind of debating, should I bring this story? But it was just too good. Like, this is just too good to bash Epic a little bit. So Epic has a creator codes system where you can basically sell I think assets or something, if I remember that correctly. Like you can sell, like designers especially and so on, can sell stuff in game. But, and here's the kicker. Epic in their own FAQ says, you should expect modest results from this program. The amount earned scales with the number of players who choose to support you. And like basically you can earn $25 if someone buys like 50,000 V-Bucks, like if they purchase about $100 in the game, you earn about $5. So that means that there is a 95% cut from Epic's side on this. Designers get basically nothing. And for a company that like has been suing basically everybody for, oh, like the 15, 30, whatever percentage is way too much. And like, how could you, all of that? That I found that hilarious. That they're basically taking 95% and not even seeing a like big deal in that. Like, oh yeah, that's just what you do.
There's definitely some delicious irony going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. So the original story, by the way, I linked to the one during Fireball, but the original story is actually on The Verge. As I said, it's for, I think there's fashion companies involved where you can basically sell skins for your Fortnite characters, stuff like that. But as I said, like, so far, surprise, surprise, not a lot of creators have signed on for this one.
No,
wonder why.
Surely.
I can't imagine why not.
Can I ask? Is this like an NFT thing? Is this what's going on?
This is just like making your own skins for Fortnite, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. But instead of making your own skins, you can buy them from your favorite fashion brand. I think that was the idea. But as I said, with a 95-5 split, that doesn't sound too interesting.
No, not that appealing. You'd have to be doing it at quite a big scale to get anything from it, wouldn't you? And then Epic Games and Fortnite is still winning much bigger from your creativity.
Yeah, you're basically giving away your brand to Epic, because I mean you get basically nothing for it. I mean you have most of the costs involved, because you have to have a designer who designs the skin and prepares everything and all of that, and then you get basically pennies for it.
See, I don't see
how you could scale this up to a level where it makes financial sense for anyone to actually participate in this.
Except Epic Games. I mean, Tim Sweeney, Epic, I think it came out a lot when the whole court case with Apple and Google was going off. The guy is, for want of a better phrase, I'm trying to think of a nicer way to put this, but full of shit is basically really the only way I can land on it. You know, it was obvious when you heard the statements that they were putting out about the good work and the good fight that they were doing for the users and the gamers by taking on these horrible Apple and Google companies within their tyranny over the freedoms of young people. And it's like, just shut up. You want money. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't spin me this line of what a great person you are and all of this. You want billions and billions of dollars, Tim. And that's really all there is to it. And at the end of the day, they're running a company. They're going to just take what they can take, and Fortnite's the best thing they've got going.
Yeah.
It's still shitty, though. It's like, why would anyone do that? It's greed to the point of pointlessness, because no one's going to do that. So you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree that kind of a share, you know, an income split, if we can even call it that, given the levels we're operating at, doesn't really work. But just to your point about the actual court cases, I spent too many hours reading and writing about and reporting on all, you know, that battle with Apple. I mean, it was a fascinating PR story from the start, wasn't it? From when they launched, you know, they basically forced Apple to kick them off so that Apple would be the bad guys. They then had lined up for when they knew they were going to be kicked off a video mocking the Apple 1984 video. You know, that famous Apple advert, mm-hmm. and then kind of could, you know, exactly as you say, which picked themselves as the kind of underdog fighting the good fight against the big guys when they're one of the biggest gaming companies with one of the biggest games in the world. And also the reason why they are of that scale is in large part because of the platform Apple and Google gave them, which is, of course, you know, there are plenty of things we can say against the, you know, the App Store setup. And the, you know, the what Apple takes from them, and they've obviously had to change that. But not, you know, they were complaining about Apple taking what 30%, and you just said, Patrice, that Epic could take what 95 or something ridiculous.
95. Like, yeah.
I think hypocrisy feels too generous a turn of phrase there.
Yeah.
And the litigation in Epic v Apple, Google and everyone else, it's not done yet. So this is not a good look for Epic when you're still in the middle of that other legal battle. And this is not something that's going to play well in court, because you know that Apple and Google's legal teams are going to bring this up.
Oh, hell yeah. This is one of those things they're going to print big on a big card and put it in front of a big stand in front of people and keep pointing at it, going 95%.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of ammunition that that a savvy legal team can use so well that Apple and Google should be sending Epic fruit baskets right now as a thank you.
Epic and you know, the lawyers or the designers who work for Apple and Google should be making skins in Fortnite and seeing how much they can make from it, just to prove the point.
Oh my god, yeah, they should. It wouldn't surprise me, now that you say it, if they aren't doing that just to have their own data.
They should do like a Steve Jobs Polonex skin or something.
Yes. How about the 1984 Renner suit?
Amazing.
Yeah.
The story behind it, I like, if you go to the Reuters, is kind of crazy. Like, so basically, I thought it was just skins, but it's entire maps. Like, people create entire maps, like whatever. You can have a brand that has their, whatever, the Apple Store, for example. And it looks like an Apple Store, or their whatever other fashion store. And as I said, they design it, and it costs quite some money, and then basically people use it, but you to get any money back, they even have to enter, like, I didn't even know that, they even have to enter, like, if they buy anything in that store, they have to enter this creator code. Even then you only get 95, and then only then you get 5%.
Wow.
It sounds exactly like all the metaverse games that are cropping up. Mm. With NFT, it's exactly like that. Only there's no NFTs or anything like that, because all of it is going to Epic Games. like this is, you know, there's like Sandbox and a couple of others where you can go and buy your virtual NFT land and put your company building on it and do all of that. And companies are kind of starting to do that, whether that lasts or not is a separate thing, but that's the thing. But they own that, then they're not getting revenue share from the makers of the game. They're living in the world that the game creators have made. This is, it's exactly the same thing, but this is just totally engineered to make just billions of dollars for Epic Games. And I mean, they're like, what are they? It's a large percentage owned by Tencent as well at Epic Games. It's basically just a massive Chinese corporation with infinite pockets.
All right. I think, Epic's defense, they're clearly doing all of the hard work here. I mean, all these people have to do is just create some content. Epic has to have a server and some bandwidth and someone to babysit the server and then someone to count all the money.
Yeah,
so, that's, I mean, so clearly.
And someone to write the big check to the board members and so on.
Right. So, I mean, clearly Epic is doing the hard work here, not the content creators.
I mean, I don't have much sympathy for Epic, but obviously Epic would argue that they created the game and the world and continue to develop that for the creators. I still don't think there's any circumstances in which a 95-5 revenue share is a reasonable one.
I think if they start making that whole we created the world, et cetera, argument, that's another one where Apple and Google's lawyers are going to start the tape recorders going and pointing at things. Like, so you made the ecosystem, did you? Oh, really? Yeah. And then that allows those people. I see what you're saying. That's a very good argument.
If it was Epic, it was any other company, if it was Sony or Nintendo or whatever, then we would say, well, okay, I mean, if that's how they want to run their stuff and if they think that's going to work, okay, so their problem. But it's Epic on one hand saying, oh, they're so bad, they're charging us 30%. It's like, and on the other hand, they're taking 95.
Yeah, Epic's argument in the case is also that there's no other option. There's no direct way people can use Fortnite and make purchases on Fortnite in the iOS ecosystem without going through the App Store.
There's no other option to buy Fortnite stuff except on Fortnite.
Right, exactly. Huh. Absolutely. Mm. And just the number Rich was thinking of is it's 40% that Tencent have a stake. It's a 40% stake, which is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're not struggling is the point. Really, with that one, I suppose. Like, they're not going to disappear anytime soon.
No, I think they'll be okay.
Well, if they keep going that way, they might lose a lot of the creatives. And if they lose a lot of that, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Because, I mean, it's not as if there are no competitors. I mean, there's Roblox and what's the other one?
Minecraft.
Well, Minecraft's still by far the behemoth over the others. I honestly think
and then
with
Meta,
any of these games... it's a game. People just wake up one day and go, can't be bothered today, and they play something else and they just go away. I understand the desire to just make as much money as you can while you can, because Fortnite isn't infinite. It's, you know, it's That's got true. A lifespan.
Yeah, there does seem to be quite a cult following around Fortnite, doesn't they, which was obviously part of what we were talking about with its approach to the marketing and the comms effort against Apple, was around that kind of very passionate cult following, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the trouble is it's a cult following of 12-year-olds, which annoys you on Twitter, but in real life, they quieten down around like 8:30 when they all go to bed. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky it's they're not going to be able to listen to us now, then. They're not going to be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too late for them now.
Yep. Yep. Charlotte, you shot your story over to me, so I'll drop it into the chat for you. And tell us about your new ability to burn more time watching television.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Rich will agree with me that what we needed in the UK was another streaming service.
Yeah, this is all the stuff I've been getting off BitTorrent for a few months, isn't it? Right. I mean, sorry, this is all the stuff I've been waiting to appear on Paramount Plus in the UK for.
Yeah, Paramount Plus is finally here in the UK. It's £6.99 a month. I think it's £69.90 for the year in the UK. And there's some quite interesting stuff. And then I had a flick around and looked at it. The thing that did catch my eye is The First Lady, which I think has got, was it Michelle Pfeiffer and Viola Davis and Gillian Anderson playing various first ladies and taking a look at their world. I noticed Ray Donovan's on there, but you can also get that through Now TV. There's Twin Peaks, Deadwood, Billions. There's some stuff in there. I'm not convinced much of it is unique to Paramount Plus yet. Some of the things are like, you know, some of the classic Nickelodeon shows and like reboots of things like iCarly and things like that. So there is stuff there, and there's some movies there. There's a quite interesting article as well on Tech Radar, who were unconvinced at the point of launch or just before the launch that this was worth the money. And having spent kind of 24 hours with it, I'm not sure I'm going to be cashing out £70 for it just yet. The one thing that does make it relatively compelling is it has all the Star Trek back catalogue. It's got, you know, everything, Discovery. It's got, you know, My Beloved Catherine Janeway is on there. Yeah. So there is the whole of Star Trek is on there. So if you're a Star Trek fan and don't own it in another format, that is the place for you. But I'm not quite sure that there's much you would want apart from a couple of movies to, you know, that you wouldn't use the free trial for.
How does the content, how does the content catalog compare to the US?
I think it's pretty similar.
Okay. So because I'm in the US, they have a lot of the CBS shows and so on.
It's all the age. It seems to be a lot of the like Showtime stuff from what I can tell.
Have they taken Star Trek off Netflix?
Yes. Star Trek is slowly phasing off of Netflix.
Exactly. Like
right now, I believe you can still watch Deep Space Nine.
Oh, it's all still here.
Netflix. And okay, so I need to qualify that in the United States,
right?
Because
right.
that's so where Paramount Plus had already launched. Yeah. Most of the Star Trek series have been pulled from Netflix. And I think it's just waiting for contracts to run out. Yeah. So,
and some stuff never made it to Europe because they basically knew that they would start this.
So I'm looking at UK Netflix, and on UK Netflix is Next Generation, the original Star Trek, Voyager, Star Trek Enterprise. But so I think the main thing that's not on there is the new, and Deep Space Nine is on there as well.
Yeah, we've even got the animated series.
Yeah, I don't think Discovery sees within that's unique to Paramount Plus.
Yeah, and they even released stuff on Netflix because there was such. I think it was Discovery for a little while because
it was Discovery.
A big backlash against. Yeah, not getting all of that.
The thing that kind of occurs to me whenever I look in. Test out these services or write about them, and I probably will write about it this week, is like there is ultimately streaming fatigue, isn't there? And there's ultimately a point where we're all going to go, do you know what, I don't actually need to put out another £70 or £6.99 a month going out my bank account. I'm actually okay, I can find it, you know. I certainly don't think I would dish out for it now. I might at some point once all that Star Trek stuff or whatever has gone from Netflix and, you know, whatever. But it doesn't make me think, oh, I've got to do it now. Whereas, you know, Apple TV Plus got a lot of criticism at the beginning, but actually has kind of proven its worth over time. And the same could happen with Paramount Plus. It just feels too little too late to me, particularly here in the UK environment.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because, I mean, honestly, Paramount Plus is probably the most used service right now for me. Because I mean, it has all the like CVS stuff and so on the US side. So that makes sense for me. But I don't know how it looks like in the UK. And I mean, if you're not into those shows, then it's no use. And I think that's in general, but I'm with you. Yeah. Like the fatigue is definitely there. I mean, I'm always looking at HBO Max, for example. There's always like one show I would like to watch there. But then I'm like, oh, do I want to pay for another service? Do I really need it for one show? Then I never do it. And don't get me started on Netflix. Like,
yeah, HBO Max for me, it's a service I enjoy having.
Mm.
But I'm not like directly paying for it. It comes as part of my AT&T cellular mm-hmm. phone package. And so I watch Westworld when that comes on. And then occasionally something else, you know, someone will say, oh, there's this thing on HBO to watch. Mm. And then I'll go watch it. But if I didn't have this as part of my AT&T plan, I wouldn't have HBO Max.
Mm. Yeah.
For me, I think the two most... So I'm doing a lot of Disney Plus at the moment. Mainly mm-hmm. because I'm trying to get to the end of How I Met Your Mother finally without... I still don't know who the mother is. Everyone should.
You're not missing much.
Stop it. I'm nearly getting towards the end. So I'm doing a lot of that. I'm mm-hmm. also, I think probably in reality, the thing I most use is my Now TV subscription because mm-hmm. I have the sports package and that brings me Sky Sports. So all the Premier League football and all of those things. And there's increasing amounts on Apple TV Plus as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apple TV Plus is good, but even that's been a step. I might have found it falling off the back of a lorry, all that stuff. It's just another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at five or six of them now. And there's so much pressure. I actually feel pressure. Like I'm not watching stuff and I can't decide what to watch because whatever I pick, I'm wasting another five services or whatever.
Yeah, and then there's YouTube, for example. I mean, you still have YouTube Premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I'm, yeah, God, I forgot about that one. Yeah, I'm also paying for that.
Yeah.
So it's all too much. And I think what people are doing, that people are clearly like just subscribing to one for the time they want to watch that show and then canceling it. No one's keeping all of them up all the time. But.
Oh, that's where Paramount Plus has been really smart from a business perspective. Because, I mean, from my perspective, Star Trek is the anchor of Paramount Plus. And so they have a new series starting at the same time as whatever you're currently watching is wrapping up. So there's always something new happening in the Star Trek franchise to keep you paying.
Yeah, they know exactly. I mean, that's probably part of the reason why the big like binge drops are not happening that much anymore.
See, you need to do what? Come over to my angry old man side of the fence with Star Trek, and none of this will affect you. It's fine. They can show Discovery all day. I don't give a crap. It's fine. You know, Lower Decks, fine. Get on with it. Fill your boots. I've got my TNG and my Next Gen, and I'm a happy boy. And that's, it's just easier. It's just an easier way of life.
I think I've read and written about some research that showed basically what Rich is describing, that people pay for, I think, basically 2.5 services on average. So
sounds about right.
It's normally Netflix, Amazon, and some people play for something else, basically, is how you get to that number. And I guess they're all competing with how... Oh, dear, Patrice is working out how many services she's paying for. I guess what a lot of the Apple, Disney, HBO Max, Disney Plus and now Paramount Plus are trying to be as the third service. And I think that's quite a hard battle. And I think probably by definition of the back catalogue, Disney Plus wins that for most people. Mm. It is an interesting... I mean, this is the kind of stuff I report and do my podcast on day and day out. But it's a fascinating battle to see play out, and I do think people are just going to get to peak streaming and have had enough
mm-hmm.
of and stop paying for all different services, and it's going to have to be.
I think we've reached that. We've reached that already. I mean, there's so many. I mean, CNN Plus basically imploded before it even
launched. Yeah, that took what, hours?
Yeah, exactly. Like a day or two, I think.
I do think there was a different set of issues with CNN Plus, and
probably yes. I mean, it disappeared way too fast for it to just be not successful. It was probably some other issue.
Yeah, it disappeared. But I think news in a streaming environment, particularly when you're not giving away the live news thing that most people care about with CNN, was always a hard ask anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, there is so many streaming services. Like there is Peacock, there is Showtime, there is like I can probably keep going. Mm-hmm. There's so many, and I think we've already reached the peak.
Yeah. Some of that we get integrated into like Now TV and stuff here in the UK, but then that's just the point, isn't it? That people are going to end up wanting bundles again, not all these standalone services.
I mean, some networks have multiple apps, and that makes absolutely no sense. Multiple services, multiple apps.
Yep. Yeah. I was running through the mental list of subscriptions, streaming service subscriptions I have. And I realized that several of them I wouldn't have except for the fact that they come with something else, like HBO Max with my cell phone. Amazon Prime, because I have Amazon for all Prime, the purchases that I make.
Yeah, that's the one that no one can get rid of that one, can they? We want the postage. Right. It's not the video.
Yeah.
I never use it even, so.
And I do watch stuff on Amazon Prime because I have it. But, you know, and Showtime, because I got the CBS All Access, which became Paramount Plus, package that included Showtime that you can't get anymore. And as long as I keep paying for Paramount Plus, I just have Showtime for free with it now. And at this point, I can say what I would be paying for personally if I didn't have all this other stuff that just kind of happens would be Apple TV Plus and Paramount Plus and Disney.
I realized I have five, which is crazy. Because there's Paramount Plus, there's Hulu, there is Apple TV Plus, YouTube, I'm counting, it's still streaming video.
That
even
counts.
If it's different content. And then Amazon Prime that I never use. So I'm technically paying for five, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This is way too much.
I'm trying not to think about the numbers I'm pay for and just saying that it's all for work, so it's fine.
There you go.
Well, that's a good reasoning.
Yeah. Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime, Netflix, HBO Max. Did I say Paramount Plus yet?
No.
So Showtime. And I feel like I'm forgetting something.
YouTube Premium.
No, I'm not paying for YouTube Premium.
Okay.
So I counted seven.
Okay, I'm not doing too bad. I'm not doing too bad. Because I've got YouTube Premium. Now TV counts as a couple because you've got the sports and the entertainment package.
Mm-hmm.
And they're expensive because the sports is, I've got that on offer for 25 quid a month, the sports. And then the entertainment package is another $9.99 on top of that. Then Amazon Prime, Netflix. I feel like I'm missing stuff here. Five seems like far too few.
Yeah, I don't have Hulu, but I know where to go to sit on a couch and watch Hulu. So, you know, I don't have to miss the oil.
That works too. Yeah, it's, as I said, it feels like that is already too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all wanted to have an a la carte system.
Mm-hmm.
And we got what we asked for.
True.
Which turns out that it isn't actually what we wanted.
Too many things on the menu, Jeff.
And they're individually too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wouldn't be a problem if all of them were the whatever, $6.99, $7.99, like that price range. I think then you would get a couple more. But I mean, there's like Netflix, which I don't know. Where is it now? Netflix 25, to, 20, something like that.
Well, here, in the US, it's like just under $20 a month.
It's about 16 here, isn't it?
I don't know. I think mine just went up to 10 something.
Yeah, it just I've went up.
Not got the. It's more for 4K, isn't it? And I don't have the 4K package.
But here in the US, all the packages went up, and I do not have a 4K package. And I have never upgraded my Netflix service, and I've been a Netflix subscriber ever since they would mail you DVDs. So I've never upgraded my service, but my service today costs more than twice what it did when I started, just from their incremental price increases.
And they keep increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the reasons why I canceled it ultimately, because I was not using it and I was paying way too much for that.
I think what genuinely is going to happen is people are going to get a lot smarter. They're not going to sign up for the year deals. People are going to get a lot smarter of doing a month, binge watching the thing they want on an individual service, cancelling it, and then replacing it with another service where there's the next thing they want to binge.
That's what's going to happen. And if you don't mind waiting to watch shows, then you can do that. Because you can, I mean, wait until the first season of whatever, The Mandalorian is over, and then has dropped fully, and then you subscribe to Disney Plus and watch it, and then stop it again. Mm-hmm. But if you're like me and you want to watch the latest shows and talk to Jeff about it and so on, then that gets much, much harder.
I maintain Plex is a fantastic thing.
It is.
Plex is wonderful.
It's so good at the moment, and it works so well. And they have the ease of use with it and how well it works and how, you know, it's such a nice interface. It's less.
I would say it's the best Netflix streaming service out there.
It really is. It's got stuff from all of the major platforms on it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a reason showing why
for
I
All
have
Mankind season three. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the interface is great. There's a reason why Plex app is on my Apple TV, and you know, and then I have my little Raspberry Pi. I turned into a Plex server. It's, you know, best of both worlds.
It's got Star Trek Strange New Worlds on it from Paramount Plus. It's got Severance from Apple TV. It's got Moon Knight from Disney Plus.
Plex is series awesome. Worth watching.
Yeah, they're all great. Get Plex, everybody. It's much better. It's the way to go.
There you go.
I think the point that Jeff made earlier as well is worth highlighting that this is all about IP. The services you pick are all about IP. You know, the reason why no one can give up Disney Plus is because they either like Star Wars, Marvel, or have children. You know,
yes,
there are Netflix shows that are originals that you can only get that way. You know, Jeff's point that he won't give up Paramount Plus because of Star Trek. I'm sure lots of people feel like that. You know, each service you could, maybe with the exception of Prime Video, you could say that about, you know, and it's been the biggest weakness of Apple TV Plus, given that it's all brand new originals, that it doesn't really quite have the catalogue and the IP yet, although it's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be where the real battleground is, particularly to be the kind of third place one. What has the best, you know, IP and catalogue? That's really where it's going to come down to, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. And I think Apple has a good chance of, or Apple's a contender. There we go.
It's getting there.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep. Yep. Rich, what do you have for us?
There's my story finally. Right. So I was looking for something very techy, and then this headline caught my eye and filled me with the unbelievable fear and terror. Because some of you may have forgotten that they announced that they will be making a computer animated Super Mario film. From the makers of the Minions movies. And, you know, that is what it is. And then it got kind of worse because then they announced that Chris Pratt is going to be the voice of Mario. And you start to wonder, as you imagine a Mario voiced by Chris Pratt that sounds like Chris Pratt and all of that. And then this headline came up where Chris Pratt says his Mario voice is unlike anything you've heard.
In the Mario world.
Yeah. If he's doing a voice, then this has no chance. No. You get Chris Pratt because he sounds like Chris Pratt, not because he's a great voice artist. Right? Yep. If you want a great voice artist, they're different people, and none of them are Chris Pratt. And what the hell are they doing? Because this is all a bad idea. If you ever seen 28 Days Later, there's a great line in 28 Days Later where they're going to try and drive the taxi through this tunnel where they can't see where it is, what's in there. And one of the characters says, do you know what? I know it's a shit idea because it's obviously a shit idea. and this is another one of those. And they're going to make some... Why couldn't you just use the guy who's been the voice of Mario since there was a voice of Mario and has been the voice of Mario in everything ever that had his voice? So much like he's like the most, he's the voice actor that has played a character in the most number of things ever. And then they make a movie and they go, no, Star-Lord. You're like, what? We know what he sounds like.
As you said, there are kind of two ways to go at this. Either you take the guy who has voiced Mario, like get the real thing, or you say, you know what? We're going to get Chris Pratt. But then it should sound like Chris Pratt and not, okay, we're going to get Chris Pratt, but do something else with it. Like, that makes no sense.
And I can't think of a way for Chris Pratt to do a slightly Italian voice without being really offensive.
Yeah. I can't. That does not end well. Does
it doesn't end well, does it?
No.
There's just no. If he's playing other than like white American dude, then this goes wrong very quickly.
The problem is that
Mario is not a character really. It's a graphic, an image, that kind of thing. As a character, there's never been any sort of story about Mario. Who, what kind of person is Mario? There's just little bits. There's nothing to really build a whole movie. As we found out before when they tried it with Bob Hoskins, there's nothing to make a movie about.
How about Sonic?
Do you know what? Well, the Sonic movies were actually good, which still amazes me. I still can't believe I'm saying it out loud. They were actually good, mostly to do with Jim Carrey.
They were Jim Carrey.
Clearly was just told, go, we'll film it. It'll be great. And it was.
That rather proves your point, doesn't it? Because it was about Jim Carrey and his voice and his ability as a voice actor and so on.
Yeah. And
he, you know, he was doing it sort of, yes, as Sonic, but also as Jim Carrey.
Yes, absolutely. But Jim Carrey can do that because he's Jim Carrey. He's an immensely unique and talented individual. And here we have Chris Pratt, who is also there. You know, who at best is Chris Pratt. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Which is why
he's not the greatest acting talent, but he is Chris Pratt.
But he is Chris Pratt.
He's there. He turns up. He could be replaced by any other guy.
He is there.
What? Come on. He's not ever done anything that any other actor couldn't have done in their sleep.
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt himself. And I'm still angry with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies for not casting Jason Statham as Rocket Raccoon.
He's written as a Cockney Raccoon.
It could have been Jason Statham and it would have been perfect, but no, we have to have Bradley Cooper for no reason other than we could say Bradley Cooper. I'm just here to moan about things today. I'm sorry.
Just let me make
all the films. That would solve all the problems.
Actually, that would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be.
And all the movies would be on your streaming service, which means it solves the problem. I only have to sign up for Rich Stream.
Richflix.
Richflix. I only need to sign up for Richflix.
Plus.
Yes. Well, to get it without the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, on that note, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts, which is absolutely awesome because, well, first, they're a great company, but second, because without their help, we would not be able to be here for all of you. They give us the bandwidth we need to be able to stream live quality content like this to you every single week. And they give us the hosting space we need so that when you want to go and watch or listen to your favorite episodes later, you can do that. And seriously, without their support, we would not be here for you every single week. So what can we do to give them a thank you? Well, it's easy. Go on social media and give TSO Host a shout out for being here supporting the British Tech Network. That's all they're asking. And it's easy to do. So do it. If by chance you happen to need some web hosting or you need to buy domain names, we'll hit them up because that's what they do. And use the discount code BTN20 because that way you'll be able to get a discount on whatever services you need from them. So not only are they being generous with us as the British Tech Network, but they're being generous with everyone that's part of the BTN family too. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being so awesome and supporting us. Also, speaking of awesome, Patrice, can you please tell people where to find the chat since I clearly fail at this every week?
Yeah, last week you almost forgot on the next show.
I know.
Almost. Yeah, that is actually very, very easy. If you're listening to this live, or you want to listen to this live in the future, which you can do every week on Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, for this show, but also at 4 p.m. UK time on Fridays for the Mac show. Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Now we got it. If you're doing that, you can listen to us or talk to us live in the live chat. And in order to get that, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and then you can talk to us live. But let's say you're listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice, that's what podcasts are for. This is why we're doing this. This is why we're recording this. Not a problem. Obviously, you cannot talk to us live because that doesn't work. That's kind of time things. Just we haven't invented that yet.
Timey-wimey.
Yeah, we haven't invented that yet. That would be cool, but no, not yet. You can still see all the things that were talked about in the chat and all the links to the stories that we post and the cool things that are coming up. And we will also post some links for it. And in order to get that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you pick today's date. That is the 30th of June, 2022. And there you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Now it's time for the cool thing. And Charlotte, are you okay going first?
Yeah. Yes. I was going to be outrageous and say, well, Jeff didn't warn me about the cool thing. So my cool thing is just my Substack, which is theaddition.substack.com. But I do have a proper cool thing as well, which is an app called Daily Art. I have it on my iPhone. You can get it on iPad as well. I think there's an Android version. And what it does at a set time of day, sends you a piece of a classic piece of art. And send you a bunch of details with it as well. There's some other features within the app. There is, of course, a premium option as well. And actually, I set it to arrive at midday. And it's a rather nice, well-being break in the day to see a kind of piece of classic art sent to you, have a bit of a description, expand your mind a bit, separate from the world a bit for a few minutes while you learn about this wonderful piece of artwork that someone orders of more magnitude of talented than me could ever can make. And it's just, it's a rather nice kind of escape for a few moments, actually. And I've really enjoyed having it. Also, I get a little alert on my Apple Watch as well. So there's lots of ways to enjoy it, and that you can kind of dig into other pieces and other features within the app as well. So I've rather enjoyed playing with it and getting used to it, actually. It's rather nice.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess I know what I'm installing after the show. Cool. Patrice, what do you have?
Yeah, since we've talked about TV shows and I'm pick on that one, I'm going to pick another really cool show. And it's in another streaming service that we've forgotten about in the US. It's on the CW. Oh. And it's Superman and Lois. And at first it sounded weird. And I've been a big fan of the old Superman, some of the movies, but definitely the, what was that like? I want to say late 90s, early 2000s TV show. I think that's about the time frame.
Smallville, do you mean?
Oh, Smallville, yes.
Oh, yeah,
I was yeah. I was blanking on what it was exactly called. Yeah, Smallville. I was a big fan of that show. Kind of didn't end all that well, but that's besides the point. This is kind of a like a sequel to that, you could say. So it's like Clark has moved back to Smallville. He's married to Lois and they have kids. And the kids are actually like teenagers, like actually a little bit older. Like I think the youngest is like 15. And yeah, he's kind of trying to balance, or they are all trying to balance like the Superman life and the like normal family stuff and little town stuff and all of that. And obviously that would be boring. There's like a lot of mayhem happening as always. There's like bad guys who want to take over the world and like what you would expect from Superman. Mm-hmm. But the character, I really enjoyed how, like what I didn't like about Smallville was it was kind of about like one or two or three characters and that was it. And in this show, they actually took the time in two seasons, which I'm surprised. Like it felt like it's already been five and it's only two. They took the time to flesh out the other characters and like what they're doing, like the friends of them and like schoolmates and stuff like that. And they have quite a big cast on that show. So it's a DC show. If you're into that, if you're into the Superman topic, go watch it if you can. The only thing is I've seen the second season is not yet in the UK for some reason. The first season you can watch on Sky on BBC iPlayer.
No, they're showing up weekly on BitTorrent.
Yes, Rich, that's true.
This is what streaming services have done for me. There was like a decade I never touched a torrent and then they all went nuts and now it's screw you, streaming services. There, all the shows are on there.
It's amazing how hard streaming services have worked to drive people to torrent,
back to piracy. Yeah, it's good.
Mm, yeah, but that in the US, it's on CW, so it's a CW show. Like they do a lot of DC stuff, so it's one of them. There's some minor mentions and crossovers that happen with other shows.
It's also on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but only first season, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the second season, the full show is only on CW right now. But it's probably coming. Like now that they've wrapped up the new season, they're probably going to send it other places.
I see on HBO Max, you have also got Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, which is amazing. So you've got that there. That's the Terry Hatcher one. That's that's where it peaked.
I
remember downhill since the young Terry Hatcher.
That's the one where Clark would have to call up his mom and ask her questions like, yes. Mom, how do you get bomb explosion stains out of fabric?
That's the one.
That was actually not a bad one. I like that one too.
That one was fun.
Yep.
All right, Rich, what do you have?
Well, I was going to do the Steam Summer Sale But that, I mean, that's still a thing. Go and buy cheap games if you want them. And then I saw this Nerf rocket launcher, and now I want this. I don't know how to say the word. It's a weapon from Destiny, the game. Galahorn.
Yeah,
I'm probably saying that wrong. It's got a J in it for some reason. It's pre-orders begin July 7th. This is $185. And it is an over 4 foot long Nerf rocket launcher.
How much is that? 180, you said, right?
$185.
$185.
It's a limited edition thing. Looks just like the rocket launcher from Destiny, but you can take out a 9-year-old from 200 yards with one of these. It's wonderful.
It'll shoot 3 missiles at once.
Can we just pause and deal with how specific Rich was there with who and what he could take out?
I have no plans.
It really some unresolved like issues there. Conducted some research. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, it's an interest of mine. But this thing just looks incredible. And the pictures look great. I'm very conscious that they've shown it next to a woman who I think is probably about 5'1 in real life. But still, she's not a little child. This is a real sized thing that looks enormous and fires Nerf rockets, which are probably equally enormous. And that makes me very happy for some reason. I'd never let one be played with in my house, but, you know, well, by anyone other than me. But, you know, I imagine that this is the sort of thing a lot of people lose televisions to. And that
Can
sort of thing.
Can you imagine showing up at a Nerf gun party with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I can. Like, I always wanted to be the kid who turned up to the Super Soaker fight with the one that connected directly to the tap and was like a Gatling gun. And yeah.
Okay, that'd be cool too.
There's always all these toy gun things. They always make a couple that are just ridiculous. No kid really has them, but you all want one.
That is clearly for the big adult kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw the other day they now have like a Nerf gun that is mounted to the front of a scooter. So you can sort of ride along and shoot people as you drive. Unfortunately, that wasn't adult sized, but you know, fingers crossed if they're doing this stuff. Could make a walk into town a bit more fun.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. Okay. Well, then I guess that brings us to my cool thing. And my cool thing this week, this is a surprise. It's Lego. Lego has come out with, they're just like on a roll wanting me to spend money. I haven't pre-ordered this one yet, although I'm not sure why I haven't pre-ordered it yet. So this is a wonderful bit of nostalgia. Lego is doing their 90-year celebration this year. And so they're releasing some products that are like versions of things that they released in the past, but enhanced. And so this is their Galaxy Explorer, which was an actual Lego kit back in the like late 70s, early 80s, I think.
I swear I had this.
You had one like this.
Right, yeah.
What they did was they took that kit and then they updated it with new building techniques and made it a little bit bigger. And the version I had was a smaller, you know, they had like a little ship, a mid-sized ship, and then the big ship. And I had the mid-sized ship. This is the enhanced version of what the big ship was. And it looks just absolutely glorious. And it's $100, and it has 1,254 pieces. So that's a good price per brick, and it includes 4 of the classic Lego spaceman minifigures. You know, the kind that actually didn't have a faceplate on their helmets. And this looks just absolutely wonderful. So I feel $100. Hole burning itself through my Visa right now.
I love how the person they show playing with it, it's not kids, it's a man with a gray beard
Well, see, they know who the market is for this.
That's it. They know who their audience is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there's a Lego Optimus Prime. Sorry, I shouldn't click back. You always link me to a specific product. Oh, yeah,
the Lego Optimus Prime.
And
then I click
back to go to the bigger category. And then, oh, my God.
Oh, guys, this is going to turn into an expensive podcast.
I'm not even a Lego person. I see these things, and they're just so good.
The Lego Optimus Prime actually converts between the robot and the truck.
Don't tell him that.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that part out loud, was
I? It's the same price as the Nerf gun. Now I have a decision to make. I just
no, why? Just get both.
Just get both.
Yes. So, Rich, as long as you're looking at all this stuff, I'm going to take you back to the Galaxy Explorer for a second. Remember the one you had where it just had like little posts for landing gear on the bottom?
Yeah.
This one has retractable landing gear.
Oh, it's so nice.
I know. Yeah.
To be honest, it's the figures themselves that give me the biggest feeling of nostalgia. Those, like you say, the ones without the visor on, like, yeah. So many memories of those figures.
Yeah.
From very little childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah. All right. Well, on before I make Rich spend more money on Lego kits, Charlotte, where can people find you?
Jeff, before we do that, sorry, Charlotte, I didn't want to bring,
I know exactly what you want to do.
Has Jeff forgotten now?
He has forgotten what we're going to do this summer.
Yes, I have. Patrice, since you brought up the idea initially, why don't you explain it? Because I want you to be able to take credit for your awesome idea.
Well, then I should give credit to where I actually stole it from, because it wasn't my idea. Basically, like in the past, BTN has taken a break in the summer. Like, unless I think it was like for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been doing shows during the summer. I mean, also pandemic and
during the pandemic, wasn't here. We've been doing shows, summer shows.
Yeah, and because Ewan wasn't here and we forgot about it, to be fair. Like, I didn't even think about that. But the reality and the truth is, summer is not the most newsworthy time. There is not a lot happening. We're already seeing it, like right now even. We're already seeing it. It's like, stuff is slowing down. A lot of people are on vacations, especially these days. And there's just nothing happening. So we thought about that, and I, as I said, stole the idea from Relay FM to do a Summer of Fun and have the BTN Summer of Fun, where we will still do shows, but they will be slightly different. There will be no real news content. We have some crazy ideas, stuff that we want to do. We have some stuff in our back pocket. We're not going to follow the usual format. Probably no cool things, even though, I mean, that could happen. Like, Summer Fun, anything's possible. Anything could happen. We could do an entire show where we just talk about cool things, stuff like that. We're gonna for the next 2 months, so starting from next week onwards, we're just gonna do random interesting topics. We're just gonna talk about, like we said, we have some crazy things, like some topics that we want to talk about, some whatever lists and rankings, some other crazy ideas. And if you have an idea and you say, hey, I always wanted you to do X, as long as it's legal and possible on a like video stream and show format, and it sounds interesting to us, we might actually do it. So feel free to reach out to us and let us know like what you want us to do or talk about. Like, I don't know. Said any if we agree that it might be fun to do, we might do it.
Yeah.
So that's coming up next week. First show, and that's it. Then until end of August sometime, we're just going to decide. Like, again, everything goes. Like, we're just going to decide, like, when stuff returns to normal, it might be the first week in September or the second week. It might be the last week in August. We're not going to tell you until it's time.
Right. Patrice, and thank you. as I started saying, Charlotte, where can people find you? In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what is it I'm forgetting? I'll just keep rolling and eventually it'll hit me and then we'll drop it in then. And this is exactly what it was, reminding people about our summer format. So thank you for taking care of that. Okay, now it's Patrice. It's okay for me to...
Yes.
Okay, good.
Now it's Charlotte's time.
Now it's Charlotte's time. Charlotte, where can people find you?
Well, at the Summer of Fun, it sounds like. But I'm also at Charlotte A. Henry on Twitter. And I run The Edition, which is The Edition with AWD.substack.com. There's also a podcast. If you look in any of your podcast apps, wherever you're listening to this show, if you search for The Edition or The Edition Charlotte Henry, you'll find me. So come check me out there.
Awesome. And thank you for being here. It's great to see you back on the shows again.
Lovely to be back.
Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show every Thursday, also on the Friday, on the Mech Show every Friday. I'm also on the Friday. Yes, that's true. I'm also on the Friday on a show, the Mech Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee, projects, all of that, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food and their food-related memories and stories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And as always, thanks for having my back every week.
Anytime, Jeff.
And Rich, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on the YouTube channel Early Morning Barking, on the Twitter feed at Barking, which basically tells you what's on the YouTube channel Early Morning Barking. So probably just go with the YouTube channel, I guess.
Which, if you're not already checking out Rich's channel, why not?
I don't know. It's very niche. I understand if not everybody wants to watch it. It's okay. But if you do, it's there, and it's called Early Morning Barking. I did try some gaming stuff once, but so did everybody else on YouTube. So, you know,
yeah, it's everybody has done it once.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And people can find me on Twitter and Instagram, jgamut on both, youtube.com/jgamut for my occasional videos. Let's see, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. Here on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show, most Thursdays on In Touch with iOS. And since Brian Chaffin and I apparently can't get enough of each other, we have teamed up and we are now doing The Context Machine. And I think that's enough for where you can find me for now. And so with that, wow, thank you to all three of you for being so awesome and making my Thursday just absolutely amazing. You rock. And if we were together, I would give every one of you hugs right now. And thank you to everyone that's tuning in and watching or listening live. And if you're participating in the live chat, well, thank you for being there as well. All of you are awesome. Absolutely fantastic people. And everyone that watches or listens later, hey, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are all awesome people too. And a shout out to Tios Ojos for being here to support the British Tech Network. Give them some online love and let them know that you appreciate them as well. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then come back next week for our new format throughout the summer. And I can't wait to see what we're going to talk about first. I have no doubt we're just going to have a blast, and we want you to be here and have a blast with us. So thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.